Welcome to The Point. I'm Mindy Todd. Today, we welcome the candidates running for state representative representing precincts 1, 2, and 6 in Falmouth and all of Dukes and Nantucket counties. There is no Republican or independent candidate in the general election at this point, which means whichever candidate wins the primary on September 3rd will likely be the next state rep for this district. We welcome Ariel Faria. Good morning.
Good morning, Mindy.
And Thomas Moakley, welcome to you.
Thank you very much, Mindy.
A reminder of our format, up to 2 minutes to answer questions, which we'll rotate who answers first, and we'll also have up to 2 minutes at the end for closing comments. And Ariel, we start with you. Why do you want this job, and what experience do you bring to the table?
I want this job because, first of all, I'm a mother. I am the mom of two teenage boys, and I would love to see them be able to live and thrive in this community. I also had a young brother who passed away tragically in a violent encounter. And after that, I really wanted to do more and have a greater impact. I love the community that I live in, and I have been working for over a decade to bring resources and new policies to the Vineyard and our region, as well as the state, particularly around housing. And I want to continue that work and advance our needs at the State House. And that is really the reason that I'm running.
All right, thank you. Thomas Moakley, same question.
Thank you, Mindy. So I think that I have the experience and the depth of knowledge of the issues facing the district in order to be an effective state representative from the very beginning. I'm running because I think that the critical issues that are so important to everybody in our district are also those that are disproportionately impacting the next generation, things like climate change, women's reproductive rights, affordability, which includes the three-legged stool of housing, wages, and child care. You know, I'm 29 years old. I grew up in Falmouth. I was an Eagle Scout. I went to the Georgetown University School of Foreign Service. After putting myself through the evening program at Suffolk Law School, I've been working full-time as an assistant district attorney for the Cape and Islands up until I became a candidate for this office. And I've been inspired to public service by the example of my parents. My dad was a research vessel captain right here in Woods Hole. My mom's the sort of person in the community who never really says no when anybody asks her to get involved in a local community organization or when a family member needs help or needs care. So those are the examples that set me on this path. But I was also just so fortunate to grow up in Falmouth. And I feel like this is a way in which I can give back in a very meaningful way.
Thank you. All right, Thomas Moakley, we're going to start with you this time. You both list housing as a top priority in your campaigns. Do you have any specific plan or legislation that you would propose?
Sure. So one thing that's been discussed a lot, particularly in our district, is the transfer fee. And that's something that slowly gained a little bit of traction over the years, to the extent that Governor Healey is on board, and she took it as part of her original act that went through the legislature, but the legislature itself took it out. So that's one bit of progress that we're able to put forward. But that's only one step. And again, it hasn't happened yet. There's other things that we can do too. State law prevents public employers from offering housing subsidies or housing preferences to public employees. And particularly when you're talking about the islands, but right here in Falmouth as well, critical services are struggling to find the people that they need to continue to offer their services, and that's largely due to housing. So that includes teachers, firefighters, police officers, sort of all of the above. So that's another change that we'd be able to offer in order to provide those critical services. I also think that first-time home buyer savings accounts would be an effective way for particularly young families to be able to try to find a permanent home here. And the way that that would work is essentially a deduction from your in-state income tax would go into a first-time home buyer savings account, making it both more affordable on the income tax level as well as when you're buying your home for the first time. And also offering incentives for year-round rentals to try to recapture some of that stock that's been lost exclusively to seasonal rentals.
Thank you. Ariel, same question.
Well, I'm not sure if you know, but I'm the co-chair for the Coalition to Create a Martha's Vineyard Housing Bank, so I have been working to get that transfer fee for the past 4 years. We have gained so much momentum there, and I very much plan to continue that work, and hopefully in the next session we will have it. I'm not sure if you know, but all six towns on the vineyard voted in favor of this legislation to move it to the state, and Nantucket has been a really great partner in doing the work at the State House. We have literally gone, hundreds of us, up to the State House to advocate for this work. I have testified multiple times in favor of new tools and resources, but particularly a transfer fee. In terms of what we can do is continue our zoning reforms to allow for multifamily housing. We have to encourage funding for and create space for affordable housing projects and tax incentives for developers. But I will say that we have made so much progress, particularly within the housing bond bill, allowing for ADUs by right, tiny homes, especially if they are year-round. We can increase the residential tax exemption for primary homes that are year-round, up to 50%. And there are more and more resources and tools that we have developed. And I plan to continue that work.
All right, thank you. Next question, Ariel, for you, we start with you. Climate change, of course, another big issue that's facing our region. Do you have any thoughts on how to improve climate change resiliency?
Absolutely. Climate change is obviously a very important topic for this region. I will continue to support green infrastructure and promote renewable energy, as well as securing funds for climate resiliency projects. And then we also need to have more and more data to support our efforts at the state. And so having funding for those research supporting our commissions and getting us the resources in terms of data that we need in order to really have a plan moving forward to continue to positively affect our water quality, to make sure that our nitrogen pollution from septic systems is not getting worse, but actually getting better. And we are supporting innovative initiatives for urine diversion and composting toilets and really moving forward in a progressive manner and not having a reactive response to our issues. We have to really plan properly in order to support our shores.
Thank you. Thomas Smokley, same question.
Climate change is an existential issue that is an opportunity for good government to put its best foot forward, because it's a tragedy of the common situation in which if we don't all act together, then we're not going to make any meaningful progress on it. And so your question was about resiliency. The Woods Hole Group has done a fantastic study and put forward multiple presentations to town government here in Falmouth about dynamic adaptation policy pathways. And essentially the idea there is, you know, we need to figure out exactly the use that we want for each of these natural resources in the short, medium, and long term, and then how is it that we're going to maintain those uses in the short, medium, and long term, given the expected science of both sea level rise and the increasing intensity of storms as well? So one of the biggest things that we can do to foster resiliency, particularly in our power grid, is to foster microgrids. And the idea behind that is making both the source of our power as well as where the power is going insular to the region, so we're not dependent on FERC New England for all of our power coming through here. We can be more democratic in where it's coming from and where it's going, and also investing in battery storage technology, which would help particularly when we are facing those those storms as well. A major issue with power sources right now is that it's not accessible to everyone. A lot of that battery storage technology, a lot of the electric vehicles, and a lot of the green energy that's available right now are more accessible to the rich than everybody else. And so I think the state should provide incentives, should be investing in further research in order to develop that technology that's accessible to everybody.
Thank you. All right, Thomas, we start with you this time. Water quality in decline in our ponds and estuaries is a big issue. What are your thoughts there?
Absolutely. I mean, we're a sole source aquifer here. So the quality of our fresh ponds, the quality of our water is of absolute importance. And so I'm in favor of sewering because I think that even though it's a huge project and the expansion of the sewer, even in a modest way, is a huge cost to a town, it's ultimately the cheaper option because it's a large cost, but it's spread over a large number of people over a large amount of time. And it's just a smarter way forward as far as what we expect a vision to look like in the future. And the alternative is increasing the quality of our septic systems, which is about to be a federal mandate, which is going to be a displacement level cost for a lot of our families who are lucky enough to buy maybe back in the 70s, 80s, 90s when homes were miraculously affordable on the Cape. But they're not in a position where they can afford a $60,000 or $70,000 septic system upgrade. So sewering is the number one thing that we can do to both meet our affordability goals, prevent displacement level costs, as well as our nitrogen loading goals.
Thank you. Ariel, same question.
Well, while I support sewering, I have a slightly different approach because to put sewers in across the Cape is going to be a 20-year endeavor, $4 billion endeavor. While that needs to happen, it's not happening quickly enough, nor can it. So supporting water quality restoration projects, upgrading wastewater management, and encouraging alternative waste systems is really the route that I'd like to see in the immediate future. And advocating for subsidy and funding for local residents in order to make that happen will be what I would like to focus on. Again, like I said, innovative systems, supplementing our septic system in the meantime in order to positively affect our water quality in the very near future. That is my goal.
Thank you. We're talking with the candidates running for state representative that would be representing precincts 1, 2, and 6 in Falmouth and all of Dukes and Nantucket counties. I'd like to hear from you. If you have a question, you'd like to know where the candidates stand on an issue, you can give us a call at 866-999-4626. That's 866-999-4626. Or send us an email, thepoint@capeandislands.org, and we'll have more after a quick break. You're listening to The Point. We are talking this morning with the candidates running for state representative in precincts 1, 2, and 6 in Falmouth and all of Dukes and Nantucket counties. Our candidates are Ariel Faria and Thomas Moakley. And as we mentioned, no Republican or independent candidates in the general elections at this point, which means whichever candidate wins the primary, likely the next state rep to represent that district. We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question, you'd like to know where the candidates stand, 866-999-4626. That's 866-999-4626, our email address, thepoint@capeandislands.org. All right, Ariel, for you, your turn to go first. We have seen some challenges this season with ferry service. As we know, the islands see the Steamship Authority as a lifeline, and there have been a number of cancellations due to staffing shortages and other issues. How might we address that?
I would like to address that and by advocating for greater state oversight to encourage transparency and accountability. We have to assure that the SSA's decision-making processes are open to scrutiny. A state-appointed board member, or better yet, committee, would ensure that a better operating and more efficient operating system would happen in the long term. That would allow for, you know, if the state were to interject, we could help use state or federal funding for capital projects, and we could relieve pressure on the SSA, and we could have performance metrics. There are a lot of advantages to having better oversight, and it would mean that we could positively affect our economy, our safety, and security by making these changes.
Thank you. Thomas Moakley.
Thank you. So the current service has frankly been unacceptable. I just heard a couple of days ago from a first responder who said that while they were on official business, they were turned away at the Vineyard Haven terminal, told to come back later, noting that there was 4 ambulances in the standby queue at the time. So it's become not only a convenience issue, it's become a public safety issue. But, you know, those are the symptoms. The underlying problems that I see are the Steamship Authority's failure to support low and mid-level staff to make it a place where people want to spend an entire career and where they'll be able to count on adequate staffing levels. They have a failure of an IT system where, to the extent that it's embarrassing that a local coffee shop has a better reservation system than our regional transit lifeline. And they have no dedicated long-term planner to not only figure out what sort of ferry service they want to be in the future as it relates to sustainability and electrification, but also working with the host communities to figure out exactly how they can best serve one another. The steamship was originally set up as a quasi-governmental organization so that it could govern itself free from the whims of Boston. You know, I want to be able to work with our steamship reps to affect those changes, but there are 2 things that the legislature still has control over. They're enabling legislation and they're bonding. And those are opportunities in which we can work with the steamship to solve those 3 problems.
Thank you. All right, Thomas Moakley, we start with you this time. We're seeing more interest in working from home, especially following the pandemic, but our broadband infrastructure is spotty. What are your thoughts on how we improve that?
So as a Falmouth Town meeting member, I've been a vocal proponent of FalmouthNet and offering alternatives to the monopoly that Comcast has offering broadband services here. And I think that a fiber optic network here in Falmouth could be a model for other communities in order to support better infrastructure. Because like you said, times are very much changing. So many of my friends from Falmouth High have been able to come home because of the ability to work from home rather than moving away, living in cities and that sort of thing. So offering competition, I think, is going to improve quality, improve services, and hopefully drive down prices all at once.
Thank you. Ariel?
I have to say that my answer is going to be quite similar. Fiber optics have been available in other parts of the state for decades, and we have no other options besides Comcast on the islands and in the area. We have to encourage more competition in order to get more affordability, better service, better access, and more consistency. We should all be able to have the choice to work where we would like to and have it work effectively.
Ariel Fourier, we start with you this time. The opioid epidemic still with us, despite some improvements in battling this issue. Do you have any ideas or proposals that would help?
I have always said that there are 2 major points to be made in terms of our substance use issue. One is to have the fundamental needs of our people met. So your housing, your health care, your education, and access to good quality jobs and training. All of that helps to contribute to the safety and security of our people. Then having healthcare access, expanding healthcare services, and improving transportation to healthcare facilities is a critical issue, and we have to address that for the young and the old. In order to be able to support our community members with these issues, we have to make sure that they have equitable access, affordable care, and that they are treated as if they are having they have an illness, which is what it is, as opposed to penalizing them and not taking care of the issues that are underlying.
Thank you. Thomas Mulcley.
Thank you. This is an issue that's very near and dear to me. I lost a number of classmates from Falmouth High School to this epidemic just in the past few years. And it really does need to be treated addiction as the disease it is rather than a personal or moral failing. Mm-hmm. The traffickers of fentanyl in our community need to be prosecuted. And I've been involved at the DA's office as prosecuting traffickers and fentanyls, but the users, I agree, should not be. And in fact, as an assistant district attorney responsible for Martha's Vineyard, I was part of a coalition that created the Vineyard's first ever recovery court, which takes a holistic approach to public safety, treating the underlying causes of recidivism, and connecting individuals with state services that they may never have known existed and may never have been able to get into, but for the recovery court system. And it's one that treats people as individuals rather than mere defendants. And that was created under the leadership of Judge Barnes, Rob Galloboys, Sheriff Ogden, and a number of other collaborators. But that's only for justice-involved individuals. There should be similar programs that's community-wide for anybody, so they know that they are not alone, that there's options within their own community, and that they're available to them.
Thank you. And just a reminder, if you have a question for our candidates this morning, you can give us a call at 866-999-4626. That's 866-999-4626. Or you can send us an email, thepoint@capeandislands.org. All right, Thomas Mulcley, we start with you this time. We're seeing mental health challenges on the rise, and access to treatment is a huge issue in our region. Any thoughts on how to make it more accessible?
Yes, well, I think that we need to have a coordinators in each of the towns. We saw at town meeting relatively recently that there is a mental health department in the town of Falmouth. But there's so many different nonprofits and other organizations. We have Gosnold in the area as well that offer these services. But too often, as I said in the previous question, people are sort of left to their own devices to figure out what is available and how am I possibly able to achieve those services? So having dedicated government employees who are the go-to resource for accessing those services, I think is going to go a long way in order to actually not only get the biggest bang for our buck, but also to let people know that they are not alone. There are options in the community.
Thank you. Ariel?
I would say that on the Vineyard, we do have many avenues for mental health care. The problem that we have is housing those the folks that can do that job. We need to make sure that we, you know, have affordable and attainable housing for our health care providers and social workers in order to have greater access for all of our residents. Without solving that issue, we are not going to be able to expand access. And ultimately, that's what we need to do.
Okay. Ariel, we start with you this time. Thoughts on how to make childcare more affordable for many people who struggle with childcare?
Well, I am a proponent for a free preschool. That needs to be expanded in the entire state, not just this region. It is almost impossible to either get into pre-K or even having pre-K care for your children, let alone affording it. So I believe that making that a public service, just like having public education, just expanding it to preschool will be a huge help to parents. We shouldn't have to choose between, having income and having the resources that we need or educating and taking care of our child. It should not be that way. And it's great if you are able to do that for your children. But oftentimes, especially with the cost of living in this area, it is almost impossible to do. So I hope to expand those services and continue to also have free lunches and breakfast for kids. That is essential to the well-being of our children.
Thank you. Thomas Moakley.
Thank you. I support Common Start and Universal Pre-K. I think that it's a right. It should be a right in Massachusetts that everyone has affordable access to quality early child care, because it's not only of essential importance to the good development of a child, but it's also part of living an affordable and manageable life for parents of young children as well. And that comes hand in hand with good transportation for how we can actually make sure that parents are able to get their children to child care as well. You know, I think that the both on the islands and the Upper Cape, the regional transit system has a long way to go where we can actually offer a meaningful alternative to everybody having a car. Also very much in favor of whatever we can do to get the commuter rail extended towards the Cape as well.
Thank you. Thomas Smith, we start with you this time. There are many grandparents raising grandchildren in our region, and there's been this suggestion of you know, grandparents trying to save for college for their kids, you know, at the expense of their own retirement, of perhaps some legislation that would allow children being raised by grandparents to attend state colleges free of tuition. What are your thoughts on that, and would you support that?
I think that's a good idea. I think I would support that. The cost for seniors in our community is unbelievable. And just on Martha's Vineyard, the number of seniors is about 1 in 3 people over the age of 65 of the entire population on the vineyard. And the cost that they're facing is not only something like the possibility of raising a grandchild, but it's also, you look at the relative cost of dying, seeking end-of-life care in our part of the Commonwealth versus others, and it is so astronomically high. The state legislature should be investigating why that is and then addressing the underlying issues. And also insurance. When you have people whose essentially their equity is in their house itself, and then you have insurance, home insurance prices that is just going up and up, and sometimes they're even getting dropped due to the changes in climate, the changes in the insurance sort of ecosystem. So the Massachusetts Insurance Commission needs to be held accountable for why they're allowing these rates, and the companies themselves need to be held accountable for essentially showing us the math about why they're setting those rates. So affordability across many different areas for our seniors is a priority.
Thank you. Ariel, same question.
I would say that not only should state college be free for grandparents of their grandchildren, I believe that that should be an option for everyone. We, for far too long, have made higher education something that only affluent people can afford, and it did not used to be that way. You know, I can recall, not personally, but you know, my grandmother's and my mom's generation, you know, them saving for $2,500 a year for college. We cannot expect to have, you know, thriving young people and educated young people filling positions that are so needed in our community when we are allowing them to go so far into debt before they even get started in our workforce. That isn't fair. That isn't equitable. We should absolutely have access for all to participate in higher education.
Thank you. We're talking with Ariel Faria and Thomas Moakley, who are the candidates running for state representative in precincts 1, 2, and 6 in Falmouth and all of Dukes and Nantucket counties. 866-999-4626 is our number. If you'd like to ask a question to the candidates, that's 866-999-4626. Our email address, thepoint@capeandislands.org. We'll have more after a quick break. You're listening to The Point. We are talking with the candidates running for state representative, representing precincts 1, 2, and 6 in Falmouth and all of Dukes and Nantucket counties. The candidates are Ariel Faria and Thomas Moakley. 866-999-4626. If you'd like to know where the candidates stand on a particular issue, give us a call. 866-999-4626. Our email address, thepoint@capeandislands.org. We do have a listener question. It says, as we have seen pieces of a wind turbine blade washing up on area beaches, has this changed your position on wind power, and how do we prevent future problems like this? Ariel, we start with you.
It has not changed my position on wind power. We definitely need renewable energy here. We cannot continue to rely on fossil fuels. And while we do need better oversight of this and accountability from any company that comes in and builds turbines that are, you know, in our oceans, we must stick with what we have chosen, as it is a huge investment of time and money. And then just make sure that there's better communication. There is a plan to move forward in a responsible way to ensure that our ecosystem is not negatively affected, and continue to interact with our various town leadership to make sure that we are all on the same page. It's not easy getting these sorts of things started, and we should not give up on it. But we do need to ensure that there is items in place for us to continue to have safe and clean waters for everyone.
Thank you, Thomas Moakley.
I was so disappointed when I heard the news about what happened with the turbine, because it represented not only a breach of trust of the neighboring communities that is hosting this project, when they did not tell us what happened until debris was washing up on our shores. But then they also failed to tell us why it happened after that. And it was disappointing in another way, too. It was disappointing to all of those of us who know that green energy is the only way forward towards a more healthy planet and a sustainable planet. And I do think it's still the right way forward. But we need to do it with transparency, and we need to do it with accountability. And even though it's the federal government that has the power in terms of shutting them down or letting them go back up, the state still has authority to make sure that they're held not only morally but legally responsible if anything like this happens again.
Right, thank you. Right, Thomas Moakley, we'll start with you this time. I'm wondering your thoughts on food insecurity. We sort of mentioned the free lunch, breakfast and lunch programs in the schools, but is there something else we could be doing, because there's many in the region who are facing food insecurity?
Absolutely. And this again, is something that not many people realize it is such a critical issue, even in our region that is considered from the outside to be so affluent. But those of us who live here year-round know that it's so hard to make ends meet. You know, I work regularly at the Falmouth Service Center, so I see the large and diverse community that is in need of these critical services. And we rely so much on the Greater Boston Food Bank to make that happen. But there's also a lot of local organizations that contribute as well to that program. But you know who seems to be largely missing from that that equation is government. The state government needs to take a much more active role to identify the communities that need it the most and to connect the dots as far as where the resources are and where they need to be. And that needs to happen with the leadership of the people in our community who are already at the forefront of those issues. So that's something that I want to support basically from the ground up, from the local level up to Boston.
Ariel?
I would say that the state has, well, at least during COVID, used ARPA funds in order to help with food insecurity. I'm on the board for the Martha's Vineyard Community Foundation, and we were funneled monies in order to give out to local organizations, nonprofits that will serve our residents, much like Island Grown Initiative on the vineyard. They received those funds, but now those funds are gone. And we need to fill the gap because a very large percentage of our residents are going to our local food banks and in order to pay for food and feed their children. The larger issue is affordability, however. Again, we have to make affordable housing consistent and accessible. We have to have affordable utilities, back to renewable energy, and we have to have affordable health care. All of this will help towards a better future in food security.
Ariel, we start with you this time. Sort of a, I guess, a hidden problem that we have here is human trafficking. It's a larger problem in our region than many people realize, not only sex trafficking, but forced labor. You have thoughts on how to resolve or help with this issue?
This issue is not only sad, but quite terrifying. And there is a lot being done at the state level to ensure the safety and security of children and young women and the gamut. But there has to be a lot more attention brought to this. I have very close friends that are not only advocates, but survivors of such atrocities. And making this a priority of ours and really educating on this subject so that we can be protected is a very high priority for me. And I would love to do more to make us more safe. It's not something that people think about until they are affected, and that cannot be the case anymore.
Thank you. Thomas Moakley?
Just like in so many other issues in our community, there seems to be sort of two classes of people who get involved in local issues. The people who are happy to maintain the veneer of that we are this paradise community where everything is wonderful, and then those who recognize that there are issues, and then we can be doing so much better than we actually are. Working at the district attorney's office was very eye-opening for this particular issue. And our new DA, Rob Gallibois, put into place a human trafficking unit in the Cape and Islands DA's office because it does happen here. And it happens here with more frequency than you might like to believe. It comes... I absolutely support his efforts there and hope to continue to support his efforts there. I think a major improvement that we can make is in increasing interpreter services at every level of criminal justice, not only the court itself, but also the DA's office and the local police departments, because some of the people who are most at risk for crimes like these are those who are recent arrivals, those who may not have as good an understanding of the justice system, of the resources that are available to them, who may not be as willing to talk to an investigator. So having interpreter services where someone can feel as comfortable as possible to share what's happening with them in order to find the resources that they need and that they can be protected is going to go a long way forward.
All right, thank you. All right, Thomas Moakley, we start with you. This is a question from a listener. What are your thoughts about increasing voter turnout? Some elections, it's very low. For example, the Secretary of Commonwealth's office says the state primary turnout in 2022 was just 22%.
It is an absolute shame because in addition to jury service, which I've also personally seen many people try to get out of in some creative ways, voting is one of the other very few commitments that your community, your government, your system asks of you. And it is a duty that so many people shirk because it's but some of the things that we can do to improve it are, you know, different policies like same-day voter registration, but also just having conversations, as Ariel and I have been doing on the doors as we've been going around during this campaign, informing people that politics is not just the presidential race. Politics is potholes. Politics is your local school district. Politics is everything in between. So if you care about that, you should care about voting. It's not Democrat versus Republican on every single ballot. Frequently, it's something much more local than that. It's something near and dear to you, and it's something that's going to impact your life in a meaningful way. So having those conversations and making it as easy as possible to vote. I mean, we've already got mail-in ballots. We've already got early voting. Same-day voter registration would take it a level further. So then there's really no excuse. Then we just need to get the motivation there.
Thank you. Ariel?
I would love to see more participation from municipalities in not only advertising, even if it's just lawn signs or just signs in general, to say that, hey, during this time, you have early voter registration, or you have access to early voting during this time, or that, you know, your local race, you have, you know, these people that need to be appointed or elected by you. A lot of times it's just educating people that they have a voice, that they can participate, that really it's important for them to do so. Otherwise, it's left up to whomever does vote. So oftentimes I advocate for just broader education and broader visibility in terms of letting people know that it's time to do their civic duty.
Ariel, we start with you this time. I think listeners might be going, similar stance on some issues and priorities. So what makes you stand out from your opponent, Ariel?
I would say that, yes, we do have similar priorities because we know our region. I have had the pleasure of serving my community for over a decade by serving on multiple boards, the Martha's Vineyard Hospital, the Community Foundation, Dukes County Regional Housing Authority, multiple committees in order to get what our community needs. And then I've also, you know, helped to move legislation. I've testified at the State House. I have brought our constituency to the table and advocated for our needs. This is the work that I've been doing for over a decade. This is the work that I will continue to do. And I have proven that I am willing to fight for this region.
Okay. Thomas Moakley?
So in this race, I had the trust of a lot of district leaders who have endorsed my campaign, including the outgoing Representative Dylan Fernandez, DA Rob Galloboy, Sheriff Donna Buckley, Jim Perlman on Nantucket, among others. You know, they know the unique challenges that are facing this district, and I'm a candidate who has the experience and the depth of understanding in order to deliver on these particular issues. I've been an assistant district attorney in a role where I was the sole prosecutor on Martha's Vineyard, responsible for 6 different towns, 7 different police departments, advocating for more resources coming from our main office in Barnstable. I've been an elected town meeting member here in Falmouth. You know, housing is an absolutely critical issue that needs urgent attention, but it's not the only issue in this district. There's multiple issues that affect multiple different levels of government, and this district needs a representative who's going to be able to deliver responsive and effective constituent services along the way as well, and I'm that candidate.
All right. We're going to move up to closing statements now. We have 2 minutes to talk about anything that we didn't bring up in this hour and anything else you want to add why they should vote for you. So, Thomas Moakley, we start with you.
Mindy, I've really appreciated this opportunity to talk to you alongside Ariel and to address your listeners about why I want to be the next state representative and why I think I would be the most effective for our community. I want to be joining that next generation of leaders at the State House who are proving that our generation is not one that's content to just sort of stare at our phone screens, at our reflections. We care about the future, and we're going to fight for it. I've been going around the district through a flutter of excited dogs, curious chickens, ticks with attachment issues, knocking on thousands of doors, making phone calls, and having some really positive conversations. We're here now right up until the end. Early voting starts on August 24th, and the election is on September 3rd. Your listeners can learn more about me and contact me at thomasmokley.com. That's thomasmokley. .com. I'd be happy to hear from anyone, meet with anyone as time goes forward, particularly if I'm successful, because I want to be the person who is responsive, who is in the district. A lot of your listeners may know me either from a jury pool or from the stage at Family Theater Guild, where I've been in a few productions, or maybe we've met at the door. But there's so many more people that I'd like to connect with in order to serve them most effectively as a state representative.
Thank you. Ariel Ferrari.
Thank you, Mindy, and to your listeners for having me here and listening to what I've had to say. I will say that beyond anything else, if you look up my name, Ariel Ferrari, you will find that I have been doing the work, and I've been doing it for a long time, and volunteering for a long time to make sure that we have the resources that we need. I'm willing to step up. I'm willing to put myself out. I am willing to do the work for not just my children, not just your children, but our elderly, our disenfranchised, everyone. And I'm willing to work with everyone to advance our priorities. Ultimately, I will be a representative that represents the people, all people, and equitable ways of doing things. I am grateful to be able to be in this position, and I will always do the work. Thank you for having me.
All right, so we have about a minute and a half left since you guys were not real, real chatty today. So I just want to ask a question about going door to door and what that experience has been like. And I'll give you each 30 seconds. Ariel, what has that door to door experience been for you?
I actually really love going door to door. It's challenging here because there are some very long dirt roads with some big holes and mud and everything else. Let me tell you, I have broken probably 5 pairs of shoes. and I'll tell you, my shoes have become a lot more sensible. But it's been a great experience talking to people. Everyone has been so kind. They're always offering water and drink, whatever it is.
Great.
And
so how about for you, Thomas?
It really has been wonderful. And people are excited to see, you know, a young person at their door, someone who feels optimistic about the future. Usually I go to the wrong door because nobody uses their front doors around here. But I don't want to crash through a gate and go around somebody's backyard. And but it really has been wonderful. And the mood that we've seen among people, particularly in the last couple of weeks, has just been so positive. It makes me feel excited about the future.
Yeah, great. Ariel Ferrari and Thomas Mokley, good luck to both of you. Thanks for coming in. We really appreciate
Thank
it.
Thank you, Mindy.
I'm Mindy Todd. Thanks for listening.
The Point is produced by Amy Vince. The executive producer is Mindy Todd. Production assistance from Jenny Junker and Dan Tridle. Theme music by Benjamin Verdery and William Coulter.